Our very first production this year, of course, is Giacomo Puccini's La Bohème, a great, great piece. There's a reason that it is done so often, that it is so beloved. There are many reasons, as I find out every 5 years, because I'm sure there are amongst you opera fans who say, oh, La Bohème, I've seen it so many times. Do I want to see this again? And then as we get closer to the season, you hear about the singers, you get excited about the production, and it starts all over again. So it's really great to welcome an old friend back.
Puccini was a dramatist of the highest order, in my opinion, and he did this through his music. The music of La Bohème just personifies many, many aspects of the opera. First of all, it gives us the atmosphere in which this is set. And of course, since it's four little segments of life, we have the feeling of the garret apartment and the guys horsing around. In the second act, this wonderful scene on the on Christmas Eve in front of the Café Momus. The cold starkness of Act Three, where he just uses flutes and this underpinning of a cello tremolo to give us the fact that it's winter and it's pre-dawn, and these sweepers, the street sweepers, are trying to get in, and it's cold and it's stark. And then again in the fourth act, the garret again, immediately frivolous and fun, but with the change in one bar of the word musetta, a crash of a chord, and Mimi, the entire mood changes on a dime. Now, all of these things I've described happen orchestrally. I've just described atmosphere. What he also does is give us the characters and the depth of their feeling at any given moment. Generally, when the fellows are together, the music is very exuberant and enthusiastic, until, of course, there's pathos involved, and we hear that immediately.
Of course, everybody has a wonderful moments, lyric moments, but it's a lot of moments where really ensemble music, with the guys singing together and a lot of fun, and this breaks immediately to very serious moment, and that's a typical for Verismo.
Rodolfo, of course, is the writer-poet. His music is a little bit more lyrical, at times more pensive. Mimi's music is, I would say, very initially naive, very plaintive a lot of the time, and we find out what I was so happy to hear our tenor say, that in the great scheme of things, we realize that Mimi is the real poet, not the writer poet Rodolfo, who aspires to write, but Mimi, who just in her simplicity And her way of expressing herself does so, so poetically. And we hear that in the music.
Some very special music. It's written in exactly how she would speak. She has some lower lines, which is more like dialogue, and when she enters her own daydreaming state, the music gets more ethereal and more floaty and higher, and so you can kind of see where, you know, she actually becomes Mimi with the high, beautiful, floaty stuff. She definitely has some of the best music in the show, arguably probably with Rodolfo, but it's fantastic music and a pleasure to sing.
Nai promnota camerita, guardo sui tetti,
e Musetta, of course, is frivolous and, flirtatious. A siren, Marcello calls her, and her rhythm is the triplet.
I have the honor of probably singing one of the most famous pieces from this opera, the Act II, Quando Men Vo, the waltz that Musetta sings in order to woo Marcello back into her graces. And it's probably the most, everyone knows this piece. Of course, Mi chiamano Mimì and Che gelì di manina, the other arias are also quite recognizable. But I think this one is so recognizable because you remember it instantly. And it's kind of a moment in the opera where the craziness stops and everyone's listening to her sing this aria. For a couple of years, but not publicly. I was taking time to work on it. And part of you is happy to be singing something that everybody loves and knows, and the other part of you is thinking, okay, now everyone's heard this, so I hope I'm going to sing this so that everyone loves it again.
Thank you. If you've got a, as we do on this show, a great cast that is willing to play and explore and really treat each moment as they would in real life and for the first time, you can't help but come up with a bohème that's unique to this particular production. And this cast works amazingly well together. They are great people on and off the set. And I think that makes for what will ultimately be a really special production.
I play the character, and the character is in the situation what Puccini thought about the opera, what he wrote. It means I'm not on the tennis court or somewhere. I'm really in Paris, and it's relatively easy to play the character in that way.
For a small moment, yes. After the soul jokes and everything.
Yes, it's a really bottle
then. He has to make something.
Okay, that's fine.
Bohème is one of his lightest Verismo operas because, you know, Rodolfo is really a young guy. And in this case, it can be singing very heavy. And that's described also his tessitura because it's a C role. It means the tenor has to sing the high C twice. And it means something. It's just... It's gifted the tenor, me, the possibility to find a way how to interpret the role musically. And it's a lot of fun because it's written really very, very good for the voice.
Fantastic role to play. It's something that I've been, although it's my debut, I've been familiar with the opera and the role for a long time. It took a long time to figure out that I could actually sing it. So I do want to put my own special stamp on it while respecting all of the other fantastic interpretations of, you know, the great sopranos. They all, it's a star vehicle kind of role. And so, you know, I try to listen to as many different interpretations and recordings as I can and get some ideas and then also put my own spin on it.
Thank you. When you are coming onto the chair, it's looking now like we're setting it up to be safe,
gotcha.
As opposed to having fun.
Sure, sure, gotcha.
So if you can play the game of, you want me to what? Oh, sure, I'll step in the chair. Oh, how funny. Oh, you're going to lift me? Ah, yeah, whatever choices
like
you
that.
Want. Don't ever act like I do.
The important thing that I have to remember during the show is while she gets very excited in Act Two and is screaming and is, you know, demanding and the high-pitched noises she's making that Puccini wrote as music or like musical screams, I have to remember not to get so caught up that I'm destroying my throat, that I have to stay calm while going crazy at the same time. There's a little bit of a schizophrenia, as it were. Part of you is in the role and part of you is thinking, okay, now that really can't be screaming, but you have to make it sound like a scream.
In a piece like this, you have to remember that you can only take your emotions so far to the surface to where it starts to affect your singing. It's easy to start to let yourself be taken away, and if you're angry, let that anger rise up and come out into the voice, and yet then it grips at your chords, and you can't sing the fourth act. I mean, if you give too much in the second act, it makes the third and fourth act more difficult. It's finding the pacing of it. It's finding the through line of emotion so you have a journey from beginning to end, because it's... If you play Mimi's death at the beginning, you lose everybody. Even though you know that, you know, everybody who's seen the opera knows what's going to happen. You have to be drawn in by these four guys from the very beginning of the show, that you want them to be your friends. You would love to go and get up on that stage and run around and horse around in this apartment with them. And that's what is truly the hook.
When you break away from your mom, this is, so pretend I'm her. Instead of breaking away and turning right here, which means you sort of get stuck behind Sherilyn, can you turn and get that way a little bit for me?
Okay.
So step that way further. That's it. You got it, dude.
Okay. Oh, I see.
This could be very complicated. And it was very easy because we had discussed this thing on the first day, and really it works without any problems, and I'm very, very happy because both Lauren and Karen, they are really ladies from the opera. They understand opera and like opera, and that's very, very important.
Even if you tried to take the exact same staging from one cast to the next, it's impossible for the show to stay the same. Now, that's not what I'm doing. I mean, our staging's been really fresh and built to the particular members of this cast. But
this piece thrives on the four boys in particular being very natural to who they are and finding a clear identity for each of the four characters and then really exploring those identities and having fun within them.
That would be nice.
There are things that I love about each act because all of the acts have a very different flavor. The fun and the playfulness of one and four, particularly with the four boys, is always just a great thing to develop in the rehearsal hall. We have so much fun together. We should be having fun together because they are. And then Act 2 is just chaotic. But if I, in a wonderful way. For me, Act 2 works best when you could be looking at any given crowd member at any time and see a very specific personality, a very specific relationship, or specific character. So in my world, I created little families or little groupings of the chorus so that we have, say, like a mom and a dad and two kids. Or we have two fish vendors who are tossing the fish back and forth. Or we have a flower vendor and a little girl who's helping her. So by giving each little group very clear identities and relationships to each other, they can then flesh out all of the fabulous vending that has to happen at the top. The principals, once I've got the chorus stuff in place, I can then say to them, okay, your vendor for your horn and pipe are going to be here, or here's where you'll buy the coat, or here's where you buy the kufieta. So it's a real clever and clear sort of internal life that's happening.
At the moment you decide about kufieta, you know, it's disgusting from you, and I can shave myself, and I go, I don't know,
over
a little
there,
bit
maybe.
Away, yeah. Away from you, and just, you know, I don't know what to do.
Act 3 is my favorite because it's the most interesting and treacherous emotional work that we hit in the show.
I come to you.
Great. It's got the least amount of characters. It's got the most heartache that we get to see. It's where we find out that Mimi and Rodolfo are struggling. It's where we think we see Musetta and Marcello uniting, and then ultimately they fall apart as well.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. And then she falls in the cart. It's a different ending.
The juxtaposition of how it's happening, I think, is the brilliance of Act 3. Marcello and Musetta are going at it like cats and dogs. And Mimi and Rodolfo are having this sweet, beautiful goodbye that's full of sadness, very bittersweet. And to have them both on stage and singing this at the same time, I mean, it's sheer brilliance. Lauren sort of gave us a very loose choreography about how she wanted it to happen. She wanted to see what we would come up with. And what we came up with was something that felt very organic and very real. And what we were playing off of the reactions were, they came out of the moment. And as a result, I think it's probably my favorite part of the opera because we really throw ourselves into that fight. It's a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, do you think the story La Boheme is about?
Each character would say something different. You'd find Benoit saying, well, it's about a landlord who's got these guys that can't pay their rent.
My take on Boheme is, as far as stage direction goes, is communicating that time in your life where you go from being youthful and innocent to the change to being an adult.
I think that La Boheme is about friendship and also about how money isn't everything and you can still have a very fulfilling life without money if you have love.
La Boheme reminds us there are no guarantees in life or love.
There is one Puccini and there is only one recognized way of doing what he does, which I've tried to describe in words, probably not very well, but truly, it's a joy to stand there. The life bubbles out of this score.
Thank you.